our honor, our joy and privilege to be able to support missionaries throughout our time as a congregation. Every once in a while, we have the real privilege, the real blessing of being able to have one of our missionaries who spend their time as they should in the field and wherever God has called them to. But once in a while, we have one of our missionaries, one of the people whom God has called in a very special way, to come here on a Sunday morning and visit with us and share what the Lord is doing and share from the Word of God. And we have that privilege this morning. Gary and Carol and their son Kevin Ridley are in from Alaska. The Ridleys have worked for decades with first Alaska Bible College and then with Send University, Send U, which is the training arm of Send International. When Gary was working at Alaska Bible College, his primary task there was to train missionaries and then send them out, particularly into very unreached people groups. Now he works with folks who are on the missions field, and he helps them, coaches them, he mentors them, he gives them continual training throughout their ministry. So he is one who equips and blesses those who are going off and doing other ministries really around the world. So it is an honor to have you here. I probably knew this, but I forgot that both Gary and Carol were baptized by Pastor Washburn, who was our pastor here for almost 30 years, a number of decades ago also. So that's a wonderful connection that we have. So would you please welcome Gary as he brings the Word of the Lord to us.
Thank you. Okay, well, thank you, Pastor Scott. It's indeed a privilege to be here. You guys have been praying for us and supporting us for over 40 years. I think it was when we were first accepted with SEND, Pastor Washburn was pastor here, and he heard and said, "You need to come and share your ministry with our people." And so it would have been 77, 78, somewhere in there where you guys started supporting us and praying for us. And of course, over the years, every 4 or 5 years or so, we were able to visit. And we have a lot of good memories of interacting with folks here and with Pastor Washburn and his dear wife, Olga. And as I get older, I sometimes emotions creep up, but they're good. It's good to remember people, that we've loved and that have had an impact on our life. And so it's, even though I'm a big tall guy, that sometimes the tears come, and that's all right. I'm secure enough in my masculinity that we can deal with that. But as I said, we've and as Pastor Scott mentioned, the first 35 years we were at Alaska Bible College, and I was teaching there primarily in missions, but also in Bible, Greek, and we had our PE course was cross country skiing. And in Alaska, we have usually good snow to ski on from October through April. I guess you guys have experienced some of that this winter. Actually, there were times when it was warmer in Palmer, Alaska, where we live now, than it was here this winter. But 5 years ago, I transitioned to the international office, although we stayed in Alaska to be able to, to keep rapport with Send North missionaries who serve planting churches in Alaska, Yukon Territory, Northwest Territory, and Lord willing, we're desiring to move east across northern Canada into Nunavut, And if, should the Lord tarry and provide workers, we'd like to work with First Nations people eventually in Greenland and cover that whole, what we call the 60-70 window between the 60th and 70th latitude, where there's just a lot of First Nations, Aboriginal peoples who have very little gospel witness. There may be a church building there that missionaries 100 years ago started, but there's not much going on currently with the current generation. But in my role in SendU, and it's not a real university, we call it SendU because we want to be like a coffee shop in which our missionaries are getting together, and it would be it is online where they interact and share with each other what they're learning, how their ministry is going. You know, we want to be a library where we develop resources, we create resources online for them to use, and we have a wiki site in which not only send missionaries, but missionaries from other organizations are able to come and look at resources that we've developed, articles that we've found helpful, and that kind of thing. And then we also want to be a classroom. We do provide initial training for our missionaries that are going out for the first time. We call it Member Orientation Program, or MOP for short. And there's a six-week online course that precedes the on-site two-week program. And it's focused on cultural adjustment and learning culture and transitioning with a family, or if they're single, transitioning as a single to another culture. And so one of the things that we focus on there is, you know, just recognizing that the first 2 years in the field, although it's not so true in Alaska, where, you know, most of the First Nations people or the Alaska Natives speak English more than their own native language, but in other countries where we work, the first 2 years are focused on language learning. So on the Sunday between the 2 weeks on site, we take them to ethnic churches where the service is all in another language. So they have to learn, actually experience what it's like to worship with brothers and sisters in Christ from a different culture and different language that they don't know what's going on. Now, usually we know the passage that the pastor is preaching from, but that's designed to help them. Then we have a debrief after that, and we go to various different churches, and we help them, you know, just develop strategies for how are they going to worship with other believers for the first 2 years where they don't understand the language that well. Of course, in those 2 years, they'll be gaining understanding. But SEND International has come up with a new tagline recently that is now on our literature. And that tagline is, be disciples, make disciples. And that's that disciple making is the heart of the Great Commission. That is the key, the central command is to make disciples, baptizing and teaching them. And so, you know, we're really, you know, focusing on being disciples, making disciples, because you can't make disciples of others if you're not a disciple yourself. And we all have, as Jesus told his disciples, you have one master and you are all brothers. And it's not that we're out there, it's not like I'm up there trying to make little Gary Ridleys. You know? No, I want them to, as Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. Christ is the one we're making them disciples of. And I want us this morning to take a look at a few verses in 2 Timothy, which I think gives us some principles of disciple making in order for, you know, to help us live out that phrase, be disciples, make disciples. And from 2 Timothy chapter 2, I want to first of all read 1 through 7. And I'm reading from the English Standard Version. "You then, my child, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Share in suffering as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No soldier gets entangled in civilian pursuits, since his aim is to please the one who enlisted him. An athlete is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. It is the hard-working farmer who ought to have the first share of the crops. Think over what I say, for the Lord will give you understanding in everything." The first principle of disciple-making that I see in this passage, and I'm really focusing in on the first few verses here, is that discipleship is rooted in Christ and is dependent upon the Holy Spirit. Now, Paul, tells Timothy that he is to be, first of all, strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. That is the core of what it means to be a disciple. In order to be a disciple, we have to find our strength, find our resources in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And back in chapter 1, we see some things where he has already highlighted or talked about the grace that is in Christ Jesus. First of all, in verses 8 and 9, we see that the grace that is in Christ Jesus is God's eternal purpose. Paul writes, "Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord, nor of me as prisoner, but share in suffering for the gospel by the power of God, who saved us and called us to a holy calling, not because of our works, but because of his own purpose and grace, which he gave us in Christ Jesus before the ages began." This God's grace that is in Christ Jesus is his eternal purpose. He created us for fellowship, for friendship, and yet man rebelled. But even before creation, before the ages began, God had this purpose of showing his grace in Christ Jesus. Now, there's much more we could probably unpack, but that would keep us here all week. We don't have that much time. But the focus that I want us to keep in mind is that if we are to be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus, we need to recognize that this was God's eternal purpose. God, before he even created Adam and Eve, had in mind of redeeming us through the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Not because of our works, but because of his pure grace in Jesus Christ. But we also see in chapter 1 that this grace is made, that is his eternal purpose, was made known in Jesus Christ. Go on to the next verse, verse 10. And, he's talking about the grace that he gave us in Christ Jesus, and which now has been manifest, put on display, through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. So as we are to, be disciples, strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus, yes, recognizing that it's God's eternal purpose, but it is displayed through Jesus Christ. It is his life, his death on the cross, his resurrection that, gives us life and immortality through the gospel. There's no mission, there's no message that we have that is not rooted in Christ's death and resurrection. He came, took on human flesh, lived a righteous life, then died to pay our debt, and rose again to give us new life. And so being strengthened in this grace is recognizing that, you know, yes, it's God's eternal purpose, but it was displayed, it was manifest in the appearing of Christ Jesus, in His life, His death, and His resurrection. But we also see in chapter 1 that this grace that is in Christ Jesus is empowered by the Holy Spirit. Now look at verse 13 and 14. Paul is talking to Timothy, follow the pattern of the sound words that you have heard from me in the faith and the love that are in Christ Jesus. By the Holy Spirit who indwells us, guard the good deposit entrusted to you. And we see in here, the whole Trinity is involved in this grace. It was the Father's eternal purpose. It was Christ that accomplished it. And it's the Spirit that indwells us and empowers that newness of life. And so when Paul says to Timothy, be strengthened with the grace that is in Christ Jesus, it acknowledges a God-focused, a Christ-central, and a Holy Spirit-empowered life is what he is talking about. And so it guides us and sends you as we try to live out that tagline, be disciples, make disciples, and as we seek to help our missionaries live that out. In that member orientation program, we put a lot of emphasis every, first hour of every day in that two-week session is focused on spiritual formation, on how to learn to feed themselves from God's Word. And we have a special day in those 2 weeks where they spend a day alone with God, where they put aside other things. We give them the option of fasting at lunchtime if they want, or let them make a bag lunch if they're physically not able to do that. But we want our missionaries to be strengthened each day by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Learning how to feed themselves with the Word and how to grow themselves. So we have that emphasis on spiritual formation. And after the first 2 years where they're on the field, we follow that up with 6 coaching sessions where someone who is a trained coach will be contacting them and either by Skype or another video type chat that is a little more secure than Skype in some of our Creative Access countries. We have 6 hour and a half long coaching sessions, which 2 years into their first term, we ask them, how have they been doing in their spiritual formation? How's their personal walk with God? How is the husband and wife and children? How are you feeding your family that they might be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus? Because again, you can't make disciples if you're not a disciple. You have to be disciples and make disciples. This second principle I see in here is down in verse 3 of chapter 2, is that discipleship involves sharing in suffering. Now that's not something we like to hear, but it is a reality of life in this world. We suffer from physical ailments, from I turned 67 last year. I don't have the same, stamina that I had 10 years ago. Never mind 40 years ago when I first went to the field. But also there is suffering involved, as a follower of Christ. As, Paul says, share in suffering as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. And for us in the United States, that suffering may involve, people might laugh at us, people might you know, think we're not very intelligent if we accept the Bible as God's word. Even among other believers who profess to trust in Christ, will question the authority of God's word at times, and we will get persecution that way. But there are brothers and sisters of ours around the world who are suffering much more seriously. In a creative access country where we work, some of the pastors where our people work with currently in prison. And our people in that country have been told, keep your bags packed and ready to leave at a moment's notice. I can't imagine what it would be like to live with that kind of tension. Knowing that, you know, you might have to be, you know, might have to leave the country, and whatever you can grab and carry with you, that's what you'll take with you. And I have also seen at the member orientation program, you know, families with young children, you know, in grade school and up and through junior high, seeing the kids concerned about when we visited an ethnic church, are there spies in this church that will be taking our picture? And then have, you know, we'd have problems when we get to the country that we're going to. Those are kinds of sufferings that, you know, our brothers and sisters, even, you know, missionaries within SEND are facing day to day. But Paul tells Timothy, he uses three metaphors, and again, we don't have the time to unpack them all, but he talks about being, you know, as a soldier. And the focus is that, you know, the soldier is seeking to please the one who enlisted him. He endures suffering because, and we endure suffering as disciples of Christ, because Christ has enlisted us. Christ has brought us in to his family, to his service. The other metaphor is the athlete, the need of, you know, competing according to the rules. And that applies to us as missionaries. We don't get to change the message to be more politically correct. You know, we proclaim Christ crucified and risen as the only way, as the only hope for fallen mankind. And then the hardworking farmer, the focus is on working hard. It is, if we are to be disciples and make disciples, it's not a life of ease. It will involve hard work. And then he later he gives reasons to endure. In verses 3 through 13, he talks about, you know, remember Christ's resurrection. That's a reason to endure suffering. Because, I mean, all they can do to us is kill us. We will rise as Christ rose. So remember Christ's resurrection. And then he says, remember his own example, how he is willing to suffer for the sake of those whom God has called. And he, you know, he recognizes that he has a role and we have a role of proclaiming the gospel to others so that they too might put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And that may, you know, include suffering. That may be, you know, involved in, for us in the United States, it may involve people, you know, smirking at us or making snide remarks, you know, to us, or saying we're narrow-minded on that kind of thing. And then, again, we don't have time to go into those trustworthy statements there in verses 11 through 13. But the focus is on the fact that Christ will remain faithful to us in the midst of our suffering. So one of the things that SendU is working on right now is some resources to help our missionaries develop resilience, develop strength to endure through difficult times. Sometimes we'll be more, you know, the suffering will be more severe. At other times it might be, less severe. We're seeking to develop resources to help our people be disciples, being strengthened in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and also willing to share in suffering, remembering Christ's resurrection. The third principle that I see out of this passage is that discipleship is a trust that's modeled by word and life. It's not just information. Paul tells Timothy that the things that he has heard in the presence of many witnesses. This was not just Paul and Timothy. There was the rest of the body of Christ. And discipleship is something that happens in community, within the fellowship of believers of various age groups. Not just one-on-one, and again, if we had more time, we could unpack what he says in chapter 3, verses 10 and following, where Paul talks about Timothy. He says, "You followed my teaching, my conduct, my aim in life, my faith, my love, and my steadfastness, my persecutions and suffering, and so forth." It wasn't just Paul sharing with Timothy information. It was sharing his life. And so for our missionaries that are seeking to be disciples and make disciples, it involves life-on-life sharing. Sharing one's aim in life, one's conduct, and so on. It's not just feeding them full of information for their brain. Sometimes in Christianity we talk, is Christianity a head thing or a heart thing? I think it's a false dichotomy. The gospel is something to inform our minds of the wonderful grace of God, to impassion our hearts about that, to get our hands and feet moving, to living a life, in keeping with the grace that has come to us in Jesus Christ. So one of the things that we are seeking to do in Send You is develop a culture of discipleship, a culture of mentoring and coaching, so that in all the interactions between missionaries, say for instance between a team member and a team leader, the team leader's supervision of the team, it's not just about getting activities done, but seeking to help them grow as disciples. And the team, likewise, back to the team leader, should be seeking to help them grow and be strengthened in the grace that is in Christ, and endure suffering as well. So we put a lot of emphasis on coaching, on mentoring, and modeling in all our interactions with one another. And we also seek to make sure that it's not just the missionaries that are involved in disciple making. And in Send North, we've come up with a new vision statement in the last year, is that we want to make northern disciple makers. That is, we don't want just the missionaries to be making disciples, but we want the local people, the native Tlingit and Athabascan and Yupik Eskimo and Inuit Eskimo, to be making disciples of their own people as well. And so that intergenerational thing that Timothy is talking about here, commit to others who will be able to teach others also. We want to see that happen as well. And then the fourth principle, and I know my time is getting away from me here, but the fourth principle is that discipleship is grounded in the wisdom and sound teaching of the Bible. Paul has, it's what he has, heard from Paul that Timothy is to entrust. We don't get to make up the message. It is rooted in Scripture, and Paul, expands that in chapter 3, verse 15, where he says, starting in verse 14, "As for you, what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it, and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writing, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus." It is the Scriptures that gives us wisdom to help us to understand the grace that is in Christ Jesus, the salvation that has come through Him exclusively. 100 years ago, Roland Allen wrote a book, Missionary Methods, St. Paul's or Ours. And in that book, he emphasized that each generation of missionary must resubmit his methods of missionary work to the authority of Scripture. And that was true 100 years ago. It is just as true today, if not more so. Sometimes our missionary methods are, it's an idea that looks like it's working real well, and then we troll through Scripture to try to find proof text to support it. But it really should be the other way around, where we're in the Scripture, studying the Scripture, that will make us wise in our choice of missionary methods, that we make sure that we are faithful to the message that has been given to us, entrusted to us in God's written Word. So the principles of how we live out, be disciples, make disciples, is first being strengthened in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, sharing in suffering by His strength, modeling by life and word, and then being grounded in the enduring authority and wisdom and sound teaching of the Bible. I just want to close with one little story of a Tlingit Indian in Teslin, Yukon Territory. He was a shaman, and he came to know the Lord a couple of years ago. He was reading in the book of Acts how the magicians in Ephesus took all their magical paraphernalia and burned them. And so he took all his shamanistic paraphernalia and burned them on the beach. And he's been growing and growing. And then his father, after that event, his father wanted to know how to become a believer. And so Dougie brought his father over to the missionary, Derek, to have Derek lead his dad to the Lord. Well, the Lord made it so Derek was not home that day. And Derek's wife, had Dougie and his dad come in, and Dougie said, "I need to have Derek talk to my dad." And Derek's wife said to him, "Dougie, you understand the gospel. You can lead your father to the Lord." And so he did, right there. And it was a real growing time in Dougie's life. And I remember talking to Derek afterwards, and Derek says, "I thank God that I was gone." He says, "Because I would have mucked it up and just, walked right in there and led his dad to the Lord." But he said, "My wife knew, was wise enough to say, 'Dougie, you can do it.'" And it's had a tremendous... And that's what we are looking for. We want to see guys like Dougie, who are now discipling others, even his own father, leading him to the Lord. So, Send North localizes that tagline of be disciples, make disciples, by that vision statement, we want to make Northern disciple makers. My challenge to you this morning is, how are you going to localize that tagline, be disciples, make disciples, in Holliston, Massachusetts and surrounding areas? So I challenge you to follow these principles, that you might indeed be disciples, and make disciples for Christ's glory. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, again, we thank you for your grace and your love for us in Jesus Christ. And Lord, we pray that we might gain strength through reflecting upon that marvelous grace in Christ and the indwelling empowerment of the Holy Spirit. And Father, help us to endure suffering. Help us to model what it means to be a disciple by word and by our lifestyle. And Father, keep us rooted and grounded in the wisdom and sound teaching of your word, which makes us wise for salvation that is in Jesus Christ alone. For we pray this in his name. Amen.